Is depression a sign of weakness in a person of faith? Sometimes we are carried away with this idea that if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be this. If you had enough faith, you'd be healed. If you had enough faith, you'd have a smile on your face 24/7. If you just had this, if you just had this, you just read more, you just prayed more, you went to church more, you served more. More. But you got to ask yourself this question. Hey, I'm not Jesus, and Jesus had sorrow. What am I expecting of myself? Right? What am I expecting of myself? What am I expecting of my brothers and sisters in Christ? What am I expecting of my pastor? What do we want from one another? Let's keep it real here for a minute. We deal with some difficult things. And the more we're around, and the older we are, and the more we minister to people, the more we're going to be involved in difficult things. The more we raise our children, the older that they get, the more rebellious they are or not rebellious, we're going to have experiences, and they're going to try us. The greatest thing that we could do for one another is allow one another to be who we are, human beings, not human doings. In addition to that, there's this stigma, because as soon as you say these two words, soon as they come out of your mouth, you're somewhere between Jack Nicholson and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and reality. Mental health. As soon as we say mental health, that's it. It's over. There's a stigma. There's a label. You're a freak. You're crazy. You're loco, whatever you are. How about you're just human? How about that? Can we just be human for a little bit? Do we have to be Superman? Do we have to be fake? Can't we be authentic? Can't we hurt? Can't we cry? Can't we need one another to carry our burdens? Can't we just put our head on one another's shoulder saying something, I just need you. I just be here with me. I've been in some of the most horrific crisis with people, from standing next to a woman who's undoing the machine that's keeping her husband on life support, to holding a stillborn smaller than the palm of my hand, to suicide. I've seen a lot of things. And sometimes the only thing you can do for a person is shut your mouth and just sit there, you know? Just practice the ministry of presence. That I've made a choice, I'm going to be here with you. I have no idea what to say. In fact, if I did say something, it'd probably be insulting on some level. But that we're the type of people who can just be there with one another and hold your hand and cry with you. And there's something about being a believer that ought to afford us that luxury with one another. And it grieves me to think, and I don't think this is the case, but it grieves me to think that anyone would somehow be conscious about coming to the altar for prayer or responding to a message that would paint anybody in some sort of vulnerable, weak light. That in the body of Christ there should be no stigma. There should be no hesitation to experience what you're experiencing and be together and love each other. So the mental health thing and the depression, you know, the Christian has to get over that. And we need to stop pretending maybe that we're not, and start experiencing what we are. But in doing so, do we know the way out? Do we know the way out? This is the thing. So I don't think it's a sign of weakness. That would make Jesus weak. It would make Paul weak. It would make Peter weak. You know, Jeremiah. These are people called of God, equipped to do wonderful things that were not given the assurance of the absence of problems. And the thing about Christians that's so cool is their ability to love one another. But that love comes with an incredible price. Because when that person's not around to love anymore, not around to nurture anymore, there's an emptiness. It'd be easier if we just went through life not really caring for anybody, and then when they lost, it wouldn't be a big deal. We just move on. But God is love, and with that is sorrow and grief. It's interesting.